This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أمين يا رب العالمين ثم ما بعد. Once again, everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we try and get to know Surah At-Taghabun, the 64th surah of the Qur'an. This is the last of the musabbihat in the Qur'an, which means the surahs that declare Allah's perfection. And in this beautiful, beautiful surah, Allah summarizes the subject matter of all the previous musabbihat, matters of faith, disbelief, conviction, you know, the comparison between the skies and the earth and ourselves, how the skies and the earth are in submission, and that human beings have this, you know, this rebellion towards Allah, ironically, even though they're the best of Allah's creation. This surah can be easily divided into several parts. The first of them, again, is this idea. The skies and the earth declare Allah's perfection, but human beings, فَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنْ وَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرْ, among you are those who believe and the ones who disbelieve. خَلَقَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. He molded you, He created you, and then He perfected the molding and beautified the molding in which He crafted all of you. So Allah, you know, imposes on us the favor that He did by designing us in the remarkable way that He did, the human being. And you'll notice that in this first passage, there are two attributes of Allah that are at the opening and the end. The two attributes of Allah that complement each other. At the opening, it's wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is in complete control. And at the end, it's wa huwa wallahu alimun bi dhati sudur. Allah is knowledgeable of what goes on deep inside the chests. And so Allah's control and Allah's knowledge. Now these two things are usually talked about when we talk about trust and reliance in Allah. Why? Because Allah knows what you're going through. And Allah is capable of changing your circumstance. And whatever you're going through is happening because Allah is allowing it to happen. When, you know, bad things happen to people, they start questioning Allah and say, well, if He's all powerful, how come He's not changing my circumstance? They question, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And then on the other side of the predestination problem is, if Allah already knows what I'm going to do, how is it my fault? And Allah actually establishes, first of all, both of those as realities, that Allah, in fact, is knowledgeable over whatever goes on inside the chest. And He is, in fact, in complete control. These two attributes, once again, the purpose of them is to establish one powerful dimension of our faith, and that is reliance in Allah. Trusting Allah, letting Allah, there are things that in my life are within my control. What I eat, how I sleep, how I deal with people, what I say. There are things that are within my control. And then there are things that are beyond my control. There are aspects of my health that I can try to take care of. But then again, health and sickness are in Allah's hands ultimately. Life and death is in Allah's hands. Whether you're living in a city that's enjoying good weather, or you're in the middle of a tornado or an earthquake, that's not in your hands. Whether you're driving perfectly on the road, that's up to you. But somebody else comes and rams into you, that's out of your control. There are things that we have to relegate to Allah, that they're just beyond us. And that is an aspect of our faith that's highlighted in this beautiful, beautiful surah. In the next passage of the surah, you've got this interesting dichotomy. Allah will talk exhaustively about those who disbelieved in previous nations. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَبَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَلَّنْ يُبْعَثُوا. Those who disbelieve are talked about over and over and over again. Then he'll talk about, you know, therefore, if you look at the consequences of those who didn't rely on Allah and thought that they were invincible and that they're not going to be brought to question, as a result of learning about their accounts, you should renew your faith. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the light that we have sent down. I love one of the features of this surah is that this is the surah that kind of is one of the unique places in the Quran where the Quran is explicitly described as light. The Quran itself is described as light. You know, the Prophet, his role, لِيُخْرِجَكُم مِّنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, so He can bring you out of darknesses into light. Allah Himself describes Himself, اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know, and then Allah talks about people who live in this life, you know, based on guidance, and you know, يَجْعَلَّكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ. He'll put light in place for you that you can walk in. And now that light itself is being described as the Qur'an. Believe in Allah, the Messenger, and the light that we've sent down. So when somebody walks with light, it's like Allah saying they walk with Qur'an. They live with Quran. They think about the Quran as they move in their life. So that's the call to iman. Then thereafter, again, another discussion about iman. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَيَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ. So twice you have this conversation about iman. The conversation started in this passage with kufr, with disbelief. Then twice there's discussion about iman. And then at the end again, Allah describes, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ أُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. So those are the people who disbelieve at the end again. So this second passage is really a contrast between those who believe and those who disbelieve. Then we get to what belief and disbelief particularly. Because, you know, it's belief in Allah, belief in the angels, belief in prophets, belief in books. Yes, belief is general. But every surah has a particular flavor. And I've alluded to this, the particular texture of faith that Allah is highlighting in this surah is reliance in Allah, reliance on Him. And that's why in that third passage, Allah opens that subject up and says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There's no calamity that ever strikes you, except that it happens by Allah's leave. Allah is the one in control of whatever struck you. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Whoever truly believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. May Allah give us, you know, tranquility in our hearts when difficult times hit. Because that's also from Allah. And the idea is, if we can hold on to our faith during difficult times, the gift you get is priceless. What is the gift? يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. Allah Himself will guide his heart. My heart will be given guidance if I can remain tranquil and relaxed and relegate the matter to Allah in times of difficulty. The gift I get is absolutely the most valuable gift, the guidance of Allah. And then this passage also, towards the end of this passage, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The, you know, believers should then place their trust exclusively in Allah. That matter of trust comes back again. But what I find really remarkable about this passage is this conversation about trust and reliance and letting your heart be at ease because Allah is in control. All of that is there, but in the heart of this passage, you know what's there? وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. If you turn away, then our Messenger's only responsibility is to communicate clearly and to communicate that which clarifies. Why is that in the middle? Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Because when people lose their trust in Allah, they stop obeying Allah. Why did you stop praying? Well, why did Allah let me lose my job? Why did I have to get sick? I don't feel like praying anymore. People stop obeying Allah and the Messenger when their reliance on Allah goes away. So Allah put that in the very, very middle. The demonstration that you're still relying on Allah, that you still trust Allah, that you still have good opinion of Allah is demonstrated in your continued loyalty and obedience and subservience to Allah. May Allah continue to keep us all that way. Now, towards the end of this surah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Allah will first mention a couple of times, He'll mention trials. You're gonna get even out of your spouses and your children, those that might become enemies to you, those that might be, you know, they're calling you to disobey Allah, be calling you to become materialistic. Or you might get problems in your life that make you lose your trust in Allah that stem from your spouses or stem from your children. Then he says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأُولَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. And by the way, it's not just spouses and children, which means family issues. Then there's financial issues. Your children, your monies and your children are a huge trial for you. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And Allah has in His only in His possession is great, great compensation. What's the point of all of this? In the third passage, it was a conversation about reliance. And in the next is false reliance. If one relies on happiness and goodness and who they can lean on at the end of the day is only their family or their money or their children, these things will be there and they are a source of reliance for us, but they're not absolute sources of reliance. These are also mortal human beings and these are material things. They come and they go. People change. The one that will never change, the one that will always be there for you is Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. So wallahu indahu ajrun azim. And so even as you're going through trials within your family or you're going through financial trials, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Have taqwa of Allah as much as you can. And by the way, before he concludes the surah about فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, which is all the way at the end, you'll find in the surah, وَأَنْفِقُوا and أَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Spend in the path of Allah, give Allah a beautiful loan. Give Allah a loan. What is Allah telling us? You will develop reliance on Allah. One of the most practical ways to do so is to actually be charitable. So now we're seeing charity come up in the Quran in different contexts. One obviously is you're supposed to be charitable because it's an obligation in Islam. But it has certain spiritual benefits. The first spiritual benefit was actually in Surah Al-Munafiqun that it fights hypocrisy. The opposite of nifaq is infaq. The antithesis to it, the anecdote to it, is infaq, is spending. Now we're learning that actually our reliance on Allah builds as we spend. Why? Because you're trusting. You know, when you like, literally, it's a trust account. When you deposit something with Allah, it's not that you've given it away. It's, think of it as you have two accounts. You have this like account that you can withdraw from at any time, like a checking account nowadays, right? You put money in it, you can withdraw it from an ATM at any time. And then there are long-term investment accounts. Those are also your money. It's just that you don't have access to it right now. It's maybe a retirement fund, or it's like an investment fund that you can't touch for the next 10 years or something like that. That's the idea, actually. When you spend and you give, you're actually depositing in your own afterlife account. You haven't lost wealth. You've only transferred it from this world into the next. That's all you've done. But it's still only building your own wealth. Now you've relied on Allah and trusted Him that this account that you put it in is more secure than the bank vault, is more secure than the FDA and $100,000 of insurance. It's more secure than that. It's going to be recovered, and you're going to be able to cash out on this, on the trust with Allah. It builds trust with Allah that you've invested with Him, that you've given money. And human beings know it's a huge amount of trust before we invest with someone. It's a huge amount of reliance before we put money down with somebody and get into an agreement with somebody or give somebody a loan. So Allah uses the language that necessitates trust, like aqridullah, give Allah a loan. You would never give a loan to somebody you don't trust. And the other thing about the word qard, I should mention, when Allah talks about giving, He could say tasaddaqu, give sadaqah, give charity. He could say anfiqu, He could say spend. But when He says aqridu, give a loan, this is a very powerful language, because Allah is not in need of a loan. Wallahu ghaniyun hamid. In the same surah again, Allah is the one who doesn't need. Why would He ask for a loan? He's asking for a loan to illustrate how pathetic we are, how greedy we become. I want to give you an example, an illustration of this point, and inshallah ta'ala will conclude. Your mom, she asks you one day, son, can I borrow $20? I promise I'll pay it back. How embarrassed would you feel? Your mother is asking you to, not asking you for money, not telling you to give money. She wants to borrow money from you, and then she has to promise that she'll pay you back. That must mean your mother thinks you're so greedy and so grabby of your own money, you would never let it go, and you would have to be given a reassurance that it'll be paid back to you. This is how negligent you became of your mom, that it came down to the point where she had to talk to you in this way. It's the low expectations she has of you that are coming forward. And that's how Allah challenges our sense of integrity when He says, give Allah a loan. Like me, give Allah a loan? Wow, how greedy must I have become that Allah uses this kind of language? He'll use the language of business. He'll use the language of loan just to appeal to our baser self and help us understand how far we've come, how difficult it's become for us to spend. May Allah not make us of the people who is difficult for them to spend. It's easy for us to give whatever we have. You know, أنفقوا خفافا وثقالا. Spend and march forward, light or heavy, whether you have a lot or you have a little. That's not the point. That isn't the point. The point is that you gave something. That you let go of something, mimma tuhibbun, from what you love, you know. So this is the essential message of the surah. And of course, the surah concludes with the reality of iman and kufr, the reality of, you know, real faith and who really relies on Allah and who doesn't rely on Allah. His attribute, alimul ghaybi wa shahada, al azizul hakim, the knower of the unseen and the seen, the one who has the ultimate authority, the one who's all wise. He has the authority to call you to account right now, but He's got wisdom. He doesn't expose you right away. He knows what you say with your tongue, and He knows what you have inside your hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal cleanse all of our hearts and keep us sincere only for His sake. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those who truly learn to rely upon Him in light of this beautiful, beautiful surah of tawakkul, surah at-taghabun. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.